Nancy,
I miss a low pa zin. So zin pa low zin, then you die. Then you name the loss of the pa. No talk about zin, what does the chair matter? Pama ziba coron rang in the tree of the music. That the near your mate, yes, and it's a little zip. Yes, and it's a little conversation. Yes, it matter. Does yes, and it's your
mate. Then from the ultimate point of view, why it is inappropriate to have the relationship of love and attachment. Enemies and loved ones are merely imputed by name. They do not exist from their own side. That they are projected by awareness. If, in fact, enemies and loved ones were to exist from their own side, that is to say, independently, then the Buddhas would see them in this way. But the Buddhas, in fact, do not see any being as an enemy. They see all beings exactly the same as loved ones. Therefore, the enemy does not exist from their own side, but is merely projected by awareness.
So, for those who have faith in the Buddha, then the example of the enemy and loved one, in which there is one person who is rubbing or massaging the Buddha on one side with fragrant oils like sandalwood oil, very smoothly. On the one hand, and on the other side, there is someone who is chopping away his arm with an axe. Then, if in fact the enemies and loved ones existed, then the Buddha should have liking for one and dislike for another. But in fact, he doesn't. He sees these two beings. His response to these two beings is exactly the same. So, Dharmakirti, in his text entitled Compendium Commentary to Dānaga's Compendium of Valid Cognition, has a quotation describing the Buddha as the one who had equality of sandalwood and axe. And this is where this example comes from, that this demonstrates that the Buddha is completely divorced of attachment and hatred because he sees these two beings as exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation of the sandalwood axe, where there is one individual who has great faith in the Buddha and is massaging with the Buddha with the sandalwood oil. On the other hand, the other being has great hatred, great anger toward the Buddha, and therefore is cutting the Buddha away with an axe. But the Buddha does not respond differently toward these two. He holds both exactly the same. He holds them both in love equally. Now, why does the Buddha respond with love toward this person who is harming him, who is angry at him? And this is there is a verse by Aryadeva in which he says that it is not the being who is the enemy, but it is the anger which is the enemy. That is to say that this person is not under control, is not free. This person is not free. They are under the control of anger, of their afflicted emotion. Therefore, the person is not the enemy. It is the anger which controls the person, which is the actual enemy. And therefore, since the person has no power, since the person is not free, but is at the mercy of the anger, then the person themselves is to be the object of our compassion, and their anger is the actual enemy.
Nasa.
So an analogy is drawn in the way in which the Buddha looks upon sentient beings. It is like a mother whose child has become temporarily mentally ill, and due to this child's illness, that this mother loves the child a great deal, but due to this child's illness, the child treats the mother very badly. In fact, the child actually beats the mother, hits the mother, but the mother doesn't respond with anger. She understands that this child is out of control, and she only responds with more and more love for the child in response to the harm that child is bringing her. The child's harming her actually calls upon more and more love, because it reminds her how much her child is out of control. Likewise, the Buddha understands that sentient beings are out of control. They're under the power of attachment and hatred. And therefore, all the harm that they, in fact, may inflict upon him only calls up more love, more compassion, and in no way can he express anger toward them. Do you think the mother would get angry at the child? Should we take a vote?
You might not get angry with the child, but you want to deal with what's going on. You wouldn't want to sort of foster the whole thing to just continue.
Kondulongi mare, yenya. Natsu de tra doya drupa yure. Kondulongi mare, yenya natsu de. Natsu de pugunde. Natsu de tra doya tongila drupa yure. Kondulongi mare. So instead of anger, you would have love for the child. So in this respect, the Buddha is the same. He has love for all sentient beings. He does not see any being as an enemy, but holds them all as loved ones.
Tāpārā
Then the second reason, from the ultimate point of view, is that enemy and loved one are established by only by conception, that they do not exist from their own side. If they existed from their own side, they would be permanently the way they appear. They would be unchanging. The enemy would always be an enemy, the loved one would always be an enemy. But we understand that they do change. And it is dependent upon this reason that we can understand that they do not exist from their own side. If in fact they did exist from their own side, then they would be constantly, unchangingly an enemy or constantly, unchangingly a loved one. For example, you know, last year someone might have been a friend and this year they become our enemy. Last year someone might have been our enemy and this year they become our friend. That is to say, these positions change. Therefore, we can understand this from this very fact that enemy and loved one do not exist from their own side, but are merely established by conception. So, you know, someone, a friend or an enemy, you know, they don't exist from their own side. It's quite changeable. You know, we understand that just by the way someone looks at us, if they look at us in a very poor way, we think of them as an enemy. If they look at us in a very pleasant way, we think of them as a friend. If they say nice, beautiful words to us, pleasing words to us, then we see them as a friend. If they say harsh words to us, we see them as an enemy. And this happens to us. This is our experience. There are cases where someone might have been our enemy last year. You know, just to see them made us angry, or just to hear the sound of their voice made us angry. And there are cases where people would want to kill them, eat their flesh, to drink their blood. But that very same person, this year, we can't stand to be separated from them. You know, that this change actually occurs. This is possible.
Yes.
So the Rinpoche knows of one example where at Sera Monastery, where there were two monks, and previously when they were in Tibet, the one monk if he was able he would have killed this other monk. He couldn't stand him. And then when they left Tibet and moved to India, they were placed side by side. And over time they began to develop a liking for one another until it got to the place where they couldn't be separated. So enemy and beloved do not exist from their own side. They are dependently established. They are dependent arisings. When relatives benefit us, our friends benefit us, our children benefit us, our wife benefit us, in dependence upon their benefiting us in this way, then they are our loved ones. On the other hand, when other people, enemy, benefit, harms us, when our relatives harms us, in dependence upon this harming of others, they become our enemy. That these enemy and beloved arise independence. They're established independence. They do not exist from their own side. If we understand emptiness, if we understand that things are not truly existence, they do not exist objectively, then we will not have attachment and hatred. So this is the mode of cultivating equanimity. From the conventional point of view, from the side of others, there were three points. From one's own side, there were three points. From the ultimate point of view, again, there were three points. It is in this way that we develop an equanimity which is without attachment and hatred, which this is the way, the method of cultivation. But mainly, it is from the equanimity is founded on the understanding that self and others are equal in wanting happiness, not wanting to suffer. So that's the explanation of the development, the cultivating equanimity. We have about 10 minutes to, if you have questions. You mean indifferent? The Tonyam, Tonyam, Gomna, Mishen de la Tonyam, Ma Kepa Tap Karade, Tonyam, Ma Tonyam Deer, Tonyam Nipa De, came and do, same thing gave, not a came and do, Duksha Yapo, Duksha Karachuna, the Deva, Nideva, the Tonyam De, Yapo Mayapa Tonyam. Yerwa, yapu ma yapu tongyong yerwa. Na ke, since na came into, na came into, di tongyong. Tongyong di, yapu gomna. Since tam je na la chikpare, na la chikpare. Since tam je na la nyambo sim ke, ke ne. De ke ne, de la tongyong nengke yore. Tongyong ke aki nengke yore. Arisa na, since tam je na la chikpare.
チバレス。で、かな、かな。チンチタンジェ
The numbers in the Gona Nyapa. Yeah. They were Nyambasin. Nyamsin. Nyamsin. Nyamsin Gigone. Sinjin Nyamba. Sinjin Tanja Nyapa. Nyapa. And the coin sensor. They were.
ね。そうね、だから、だって、で、観光です。そう、台湾で、どんなもんでもやん。で、で、で、で、観光に、ね。で、観光に、ポチ。おな、で、ね、まあ、困っちゃう。ペント、チ、あれ。あの、で、ね、ポニャ、シャー、ペント、よ。あ、困っちゃう。ペント、よ。で、で、ニャパ、ニャパ、ダニン、ダニン。ダニン、ギゴナ、トニョン。
あれで。てがつまれ。ニャンバ、ニャン、ニャンギゴね。トニョン。ニャンゴトニョン。ニャンゴトニョン。え、かいせんそうで。ニョン、トニョンよな。ニャン、センジン、センジンガンガ、ダーマレ、ニャンバマレ。てニャンマレ。てんてげ、てげまれ。ニャンバギンガレ。トニョン。マレたからです。はい。
So it
should be understood that in cultivating equanimity, we are not cultivating indifference. We have an equanimity which holds all sentient beings as beloved equally. Equally, all sentient beings are equally beloved. The sum 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 yaba trong trong ma song the kunzab ki gonat shen tam rang tam dunam ki gonat sum 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 de dupa tona yabore kun yab tama sa
tona
de tela tar sir ma ter sir ma ter tona yar sir de tunga ma ter de tona
yar
So the first is not that not. So from the conventional point of view, from the side of others, the first point is that all sentient beings are equal in wanting happiness and not wanting to suffer. Then the second point was that though wanting happiness, they are bereft of happiness. The third is that they are equal from the point of view of not wanting suffering, but in fact are tormented by suffering. Then from one's own side, that the attachment from one's own side, attachment and hatred are not appropriate. From the first reason being that from one's own side, that all sentient beings have benefited you equally in the past, present and future. And the second, from one's own side, is that understanding that from the first point, it was stated that all sentient beings equally benefit us from in the past, present, and future, and then a qualm arises, a doubt arises, in the fact that this is the second point, that in fact do all sentient beings benefit us presently, and that we understand that neutral beings in fact benefit us and indirectly in their various ways, and that even our enemy benefits us, those who we see as bringing us harm, but because in return to their anger, by generating compassion, generating patience, we purify negativities and create the necessary accumulations. That's the second point. So they're all equal. All the present beings are equal in benefiting us, even neutral people and enemies. Then the third point the third point is that beings are not under their own control, just like myself. That, you know, from my point of view, that just like I am under the control of afflictive emotions, likewise others are also under the control of afflictive emotions, and that also we are all impermanent. That we are changing from moment to moment. We are rising, we are arising and disintegrating momentarily, and therefore to hold that to like some and dislike others is inappropriate. Then, from the ultimate point of view, the first reason is that enemy and beloved are merely imputed by conception. They do not exist from their own side. That if, in fact, they existed from their own side, then the Buddha should see them in this way, and that he should hold some as enemy and others as beloved, because this is the way, in fact, they exist. But as was pointed out in the example of sandalwood and axe, this is not, in fact, not the case. Then the second is that the enemy and friend are merely imputed, not existing from their own side. If they did exist from their own side, then they would be unchangingly enemy, unchangingly friend. But we understand that last year's friend can be this year's enemy, and last year's enemy can become this year's friend, and this is the sign that they do not exist as enemy and friend from their own side, and are merely imputed. Then the third reason is that any enemy and friend are dependently established. That because an individual benefits oneself, one's relatives, or one's friends, in dependence upon that, we see them as a beloved. On the other hand, an individual who harms ourselves, our relatives, or our friends, in dependence upon that, we see them as our enemy. That they do not exist from their own side as such, but merely in dependence upon how they relate to us. That they are a dependent arising. That they do not truly exist as enemy and friends. If we cultivate this understanding of the non-true existence of enemies and friends, then there's no way that we can have attachment and aversion.
Stop で、
昨日でペイで三件チク宣伝スカイラチクティティカレーチェグレーでチャラチャラゲチェグレーでチェケンで三件カレーカレーナンバレーカレーでカレーでチェケンガシャゲカレーセネセメセメセメラガセメガノネチクサンゲラカディディラセメラレでは、ミディラマガナウンディクチェンプシサグラワミディチェケンチェケンティチェケンデマガナミディディクチェンプシサグレデカデサンゲカリノングレ
So the Buddha would not stop him because the being would get very angry. So the point of that example is that the Buddha does not get angry, would not be angry at such a person. So we don't know if this actually happened. But if it were to happen, this would be the Buddha's response.
I was taking that as an analogy, though, for the situation where I've got one of my kids beating the leg out of me, and I'm patiently here trying not to get angry. I mean, I've got to diffuse that situation somehow.
Then marangi pu, marangi pugo, pugo, biting your leg, then.
Whatever.
Kompa, kompa, marangi kompa la, so gyapna, so gyapna. Marangi. Marangi. Kompa. So gyapna. De kon susim. Gomgires. Kondo longi mares. In an intimate, they pugo de gakko rewa. So, I mean, you should stop your son from biting you. But the point of this story is not that what the Buddha did, it's what he didn't do. If this were to happen, he wouldn't become angry.
is jabra se shege yo maris. Is tene jabra se shege yo maris. Tene jena, tene jindas kundu shege yo maris. Tene jindas jaba shege yo maris.
So it...
Sige kaza. Tende, tende tingin tsungwa yin, chada shege jaba yin is, hani, padi chitake.
So this quotation from Dharmakirti, it's saying this is what he would not do if this situation arose. It doesn't say what he would do. He would not become angry.
Kongi dopa dire, vikasha